And a good Thursday morning to you. Welcome into the Nick Craig Show, streaming live this morning on YouTube, Rumble, X, and Facebook. Don't forget that you can take the show with you 24/7 on demand by checking out the Nick Craig Show podcast in your favorite podcast app. You can also listen online by visiting the website nickcraig.com. Our show this morning is brought to you in part by The Law Group. Visit them online at lawgroupnc.com or give them a call, 910-251-6088. Well, unfortunately, the countdown clock that we have been airing over the last almost a month and a half is no longer needed, as the 43-day federal government shutdown has officially ended. It is said and done, and here we are 43 days later, and we'll get into some of the comments from President Trump last night. Speaker Mike Johnson on Fox News, we'll get into that. We'll have the pleasure of listening to Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez on the House floor last night as well. A lot coming up on this jam-packed Thursday edition. But I start off with this, and I kind of start off where I ended last night after watching the president speak. And we talked about this on the show earlier this week as well. This was all for nothing. I mean, we are in the exact same spot that we were 43 days ago. The exact same spot. Nothing has changed, except the federal government is now funded through January the 30th of next year. We are in the exact same spot. And so you have to begin to ask yourself, and Democrats admitted this publicly. I mean, this is not a surprise or secret. I mean, you heard Democrats over the last 40 some odd days saying that they knew that there would be hardships, that they knew that there would be struggles, that they knew that there would be pain, but they felt that it was justified because they were fighting for some of those ACA tax credit extensions that are expiring at the end of this year that are part of Obamacare. And so that was the fight. That was the avenue. That was the vehicle to try and get what they wanted politically, was to force a close of the federal government. And well, to their credit, they did that. And it went on for 43 days. And the federal government officially opened just after 10 p.m. last night with the signature from President Donald Trump. But you really do have to ask yourself, and critically ask yourself, and I've been asking this now for over a month, what the hell was the plan here? What was the plan? That Republicans were just going to roll over and cave? That Republicans all of a sudden were going to vote in lockstep with Democrats to extend the failure that is Obamacare? Was that the plan all along? If so, the Democrat Party not only needs new leadership, they need new staff, they need new advisors, they need new consultants. I mean, they need something, because that was never going to happen. That was never going to happen under any circumstances. And so you now kind of reflect on what the last 43 days were. Major slowdowns at American airports, more than 30,000 flights delayed and or canceled during the shutdown. A lot of those coming just within the last week. Food stamps, you know, you've heard the outrage over food stamps. We saw all of the videos and commentary online about how people were going to be starving and how there was not going to be any food available, and those goddamn Republicans just, you know, ruining people's lives all because of Donald Trump and the terrible MAGA Republicans. The entire world was crumbling in front of our very eyes. All for what? I mean, the whole situation lacks any semblance of clarity. The whole situation lacks any ability for normal comprehension. Because at the end of the day, 43 days later, the end result is what? Democrats caved. They got nothing of what they wanted. They didn't get any of the ACA extensions. They didn't get any of the USAID money reinstated, I should say. They didn't get any of the CBP, that's the corporation for, or CPB, none of the Corporation for Public Broadcasting funded. That was money for PBS and NPR. They got none of that. The can has just been kicked down the road, unfortunately, once again. And there's a great comment coming in on our Rumble live chat this morning. A CR is not the solution. I'm in full agreement. And let me be clear, I'm not happy that we are in a position once again where we're discussing CRs. I think it is a failure of Republican leadership in both the Senate and the House that put us in this situation. No question about it. CRs is just lazy governance at the absolute, and I mean absolute, worst. And this is unfortunately something that both parties are equally as guilty of. We see CRs when Democrats have the majority. We see CRs when Republicans have the majority. I mean, I shouldn't even have to say this. But the fact that we operate our federal government under last-minute CRs, always consistently going down to the absolute 13th hour every single year, every couple of years, it's just kind of a joke. It's not necessary. It's not needed. It shouldn't be that way. And I'm hopeful, and in some of the reporting last night and some of the reporting that I've read this morning, Republicans have 2.5 months to, frankly, get this figured out. They've got 2.5 months to get all of the appropriation packages dealt with. To hell with the Democrats if they don't want to vote for them. It doesn't matter. You can nuke the filibuster in the Senate. We'll get into that coming up if need be. But that's what's on the agenda for the next 2.5 months. You want to prove to the American people heading into the midterm elections that you are a party that is capable of governance? You want to claim and plead your case to the population, who is the tens of millions of people that are going to be voting in the primaries in March, the 100 plus million that are going to be voting in the midterm elections in November of 2026? You want to have the upper hand? You want to prove to the American people that your party, your ideas are the best for the country moving forward? Get these damn appropriation bills dealt with, and so we don't come up against a January the 30th deadline. Now, unfortunately, with everything that is set to go on over the next couple of weeks, I don't have a lot of hope. I just don't. With Democrats were in office, I wouldn't have any hope, and with Republicans being in office, I don't have any hope either. Thanksgiving is, 2 weeks away? So take a break for that. Then we roll into Christmas, the new year, and bam, we're back in Congress. First week of January, we're less than 3 weeks away from a federal government shutdown again. I hope I'm wrong. I hope Mike Johnson, I hope John Thune, I hope President Trump, I hope I can be proven wrong on this. But if I'm being honest, I don't have a whole hell of a lot of confidence that we're not going to be here 9 weeks from now, you and I on this show, talking about how, here we go once again, a new CR on the floor. I don't have a lot of confidence that that is not going to be the situation. So let's go back to last night. This was very well telegraphed. We knew this was going to happen. It started over the weekend. For folks maybe that are just joining us here in the middle part of the week, get a busy week going on. On Sunday, there were reports and the vote, a test vote in the United States Senate with 6 Democrat senators crossing the aisle, voting with Republicans in the Senate to get over the 60 vote threshold, the filibuster threshold, to continue the operation of the federal government through this continuing resolution, this CR. So that was over the weekend. The official vote on that happened on Monday. Mike Johnson worked on getting congressmen and women back to D.C. over the last couple of days, and that played out Wednesday. You had a vote in the United States House that took place. 6 Democrats crossed the aisle, voted with Republicans. One of them is in North Carolina. We'll get to the details on that. It is pretty significant. We'll have that coming up here in just a few minutes. And then about an hour and a half after their vote, 2 hours after their vote, the legislation made about a 2-mile trek from the United States Capitol to the Resolute Desk in the Oval Office. President Donald Trump, shortly after 10 o'clock, came into the Oval Office with a large crowd behind him, Johnson, Thune, some other business leaders as well, spoke for a couple of minutes, signed the continuing resolution, and bam, just like that, like flipping a switch, the federal government is officially reopened. Now, some of the lingering impacts, the biggest for most people was probably travel, and I'll get to the travel thing in just a second. I've kind of been joking is not the right word to use because people have been struggling during this, but kind of been joking with some of my political friend group over the last month and a half or so that, you know, I'm not a federal employee. None of them are federal employees. The impact on the federal government shutdown has been, at least for my life personally, completely non-existent. Now, I will admit, I have not flown in the last week. I don't take advantage of SNAP or any of these other federal benefits that the Democrats have been yelling and screaming about. The Obamacare subsidies are going to screw me heading into next year. I'll be the first to admit that, full disclosure. But the impact of this federal government shutdown has been, I would argue, non-existent for the vast majority of people. Now, if you're a federal worker, if you're a federal contractor, absolutely, you've been feeling the pain. You've been dealing with this. But the vast majority of the 300 plus million Americans are not federal employees. They're not federal workers. So the impacts have been relatively limited. The largest impact really showing up over the last week and a half or so has been at airports, with the FAA and Transportation Secretary Sean Duffy announcing last week that 40 major airports, one of those being here in North Carolina, Charlotte Douglas International in Charlotte, would be seeing a 10% reduction of their flight activity because of staffing shortages and issues with air traffic controllers. And that has caused some major issues over the last couple of days. I'll be the first to admit that. I haven't seen it. I haven't flown in the last week and a half or so. So those impacts have not been felt by me. And unless you've traveled and or take advantage of government assistance programs, you probably haven't seen an impact. Even if you're somebody that's, for example, on Social Security, those checks are still flowing in. So unless you are on current government assistance programs like SNAP, you didn't, or a federal employee, you did not see this shutdown. And that just, it was kind of interesting to watch what has now been the longest government shutdown in U.S. history, just shy of 44 days. And the impact for the vast majority of the public was almost non-existent. Now, plenty of sectors have affected, sure. I'm not saying there were no impacts, but I don't personally know anybody in my close circle that has been impacted by the shutdown. I haven't heard from anybody. All of the people I talk to, some of them do interface with the federal government, sure, but no immediate impacts on the shutdown. So let's go back to last night in the United States House before the final vote took place. We'll hear from a couple of individuals. We'll start off with everybody's favorite, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, speaking in the U.S. Capitol last night before the final vote to reopen the federal government.
The lady from New York is recognized for 1 minute.
It is great. It is great that Democrats have a line of people who are willing to fight for working class Americans from coast to coast in this country, because God forbid that we have a member of the Republican caucus who stands up and actually wants to extend the Affordable Care Act so that people with cancer, insulin, and issues across all sorts of health care issues across this country have their health insurance protected and extended throughout 2026. It is unconscionable that what we are debating right now is legislation that will give 8 members of the United States Senate over $1 million apiece, and we are robbing people of their food assistance and of their health care to pay for it.
Yes. How? Now hold on a second. Hold on a second. We're robbing our people of food assistance. Has she been living under a rock for the last 43 days? The food assistance, I thought, was going away because of the federal government shutdown. But now she's claiming the complete opposite. She's talking about the 8 senators. And now, so this doesn't, none of this makes any sense at all. And it just really, I think, solidifies my opinion and the point that I've continually made, that the Democrat Party is in complete and utter freaking shambles right now. I mean, the messaging is all over the place. They don't even know what they're talking about.
Even on the floor, how can we as members of Congress, Republican or Democrat, vote to enrich ourselves by stealing from the American people. That is what this legislation does. In fact, Senator Graham just went before the press earlier today saying he was going to seek well over $1 million from the American people from this. We cannot support it, and we cannot stand for it. Thank you.
Bravo. Wow, really, really insightful information there. So let me understand this. The Democrats take no responsibility at all for shutting the government down, as you're well aware. Yet, SNAP, or at least partially or fully, was cut off back on November the 1st. And that was the Republicans' fault. Democrats can take no responsibility for that. And even with this CR passing, which will refund programs like SNAP, and by the way, in this continuing resolution that was signed by President Trump last night, SNAP is now funded through September of 2026, so the end of the next fiscal year. So even if we come up against this end of January shutdown, which I think there's a strong possibility we will, SNAP will not be part of that. The U.S. Department of Agriculture, which is what houses SNAP, is fully funded through September. So that is not going to be a winning issue, a winning message, a winning narrative for Democrats if and when we come to another shutdown in late January, because that is going to be off the table. They won't be able to point to some random individual who is talking about how they're starving and about how they have no food. That they're not going to be able to do that in 2026 if we come into the same situation. So they've lost that ability. If this is set to unfold again, there will be no way for them to claim, oh my gosh, people aren't getting SNAP. People don't have this. People don't have that. That has completely gone away. So that is off the table in terms of any sort of negotiating leverage, any sort of public media perception, any ability to try and win over the hearts and minds of the American people. That is going to be completely nuked and completely gone as we head into next year. So that's AOC. Very insightful commentary as always from her. I'd expect nothing the less. We'll then turn our attention to the House Minority Leader in Hakeem Jeffries speaking for the vast majority of Democrats on Capitol Hill.
Fight will end. Only two ways, Mr. Speaker, that this fight will end. Either Republicans finally decide to extend the Affordable Care Act tax credits this year, or the American people will throw Republicans out of their jobs next year and end the speakership of Donald J. Trump once and for all. That's how this fight ends.
Wow, bravo.
Mr. Speaker, during this painful Trump-Republican shutdown, what we've seen is two different philosophies in terms of how to govern for the American people. The Democratic Party philosophy is clear. We are ready, willing, and able to find bipartisan common ground anytime, any place.
I got to pause Hakeem Jeffries here. By the way, it sounds like he drank half a bottle of Ambien, downed half a pill bottle worth of Ambien before he went up and spoke on the House floor last night. This is always what they say. And it is always, and I will always call this out and point this out. When you hear, for the vast majority of Democrats, when you hear the word bipartisan come out of their mouth, let me tell you what that means. It does not mean what you and I would think of as a bipartisan bill. A bipartisan solution. When somebody like Hakeem Jeffries or AOC says we need bipartisan solutions, they mean they get what they want and Republicans get nothing. That is their definition of bipartisan. We get everything that we want and you just have to vote with us. By definition, that is not bipartisan, but it is a constant meme that you will hear from those on the political left. Always. It's the same word every single time. Bipartisan, bipartisan, bipartisan. They're not interested in bipartisanship. They're interested in one-party rule. They're interested in calling all of the shots all of the time. They don't have the ability to do that because they ran a horrifically bad presidential candidate in 2024. They got themselves wrapped up in all of these stupid culture war issues, like trans men and women's sports, and all this other stupid garbage, and convinced the American people that they were so crazy that they weren't going to support them. That is why Trump won 7 swing states in the popular vote. That's why Republicans won a overwhelming majority in the United States Senate, and it's why Republicans held on to a majority in the House. But yes, let's hear more about the so-called bipartisan solutions here from the Democrats. Yeah, let's listen in.
To enact spending agreements that actually make life better for the American people. But in order to do that, we need to have partners on the other side of the aisle who are actually willing to find a bipartisan path forward. But what we've seen from Republicans from the very beginning of this presidency is a my way or the highway approach. That's been the Republican philosophy. Jam your extremism down the throats of the American people. That's what we've seen from day one of this presidency. That's the reason why the government has been shut down by Republicans and Donald Trump for the longest period of time in American history.
Now, I'm going to say the obvious part out loud here. There, again, masterful work by either Trump, Thune, Johnson, some conglomerate of those three and their staff for putting not a single policy wish list item in this CR. What you just heard come out of Hakeem Jeffries' mouth, which is most of what you hear come out of his mouth, is complete and total BS. There was no extremism in the CR. There was not a single Republican, MAGA, conservative policy item or agenda, bucket list item, checklist item in that CR. It is the same thing that they voted for, Hakeem Jeffries himself voted for in March of this year. Chuck Schumer voted for in March of this year. And so he can do his damnedest. And by the way, in this case, he's doing, in my view, a piss poor job of this. He sounds like he's got no energy left. This is a guy who is so defeated. This is a guy that is dealing with a complete and total war within his party. And it's obvious. Look at his body language. Look at his voice. Look at the way that he's speaking. He's just defeated. This is the reason that the government is shut down. Donald Trump and his extremist agenda. Donald Trump and the extremist MAGA agenda. Yet if you ask Hakeem Jeffries to list a single extremist MAGA agenda item in this CR, he can't point to one because it doesn't exist. It just doesn't. That is a fact. You can't, there's no room for debate on that. There's no room for opinion on that. There's no Republican wish list policy items in this CR. In the original one that the House voted for in mid-September and the one that was voted on yesterday, it just doesn't exist. There's no truth to what the House Minority Leader is saying.
What have we seen from Donald Trump and Republicans during this shutdown? A consistent unwillingness to actually find common ground in order to make life better for the American people. Donald Trump, during this shutdown, found the time to play golf week after week after week. Donald Trump found the time to pardon serial fraudsters like George Santos and Rudolph Giuliani.
I guess he's not going to mention that President Trump found the time to fly to Israel and broker a peace deal between Gaza and Hamas. I guess he's not going to mention that President Donald Trump also found the time to fly to Asia and meet with business leaders of a vast majority of Asian countries and secure hundreds of billions of dollars worth of investment in the United States. I guess Hakeem Jeffries isn't going to point that out. And I caught something interesting. I don't have the clip for it, but it's just coming back to my mind. I was watching Fox News last night while I was waiting for Trump to speak. I had it on in the background, and Peter Doocy, who is the White House correspondent, chief White House correspondent for Fox News, was on with Sean Hannity. And Peter Doocy said that, you know, he's obviously covered politics for quite some time, that this administration did not allow the federal government shutdown, which, as much as Hakeem Jeffries wants to claim, was not caused by the Republicans. I mean, Democrats didn't vote in the Senate to get to the 60 vote threshold. So you can point your finger at the Republicans all you want, but nobody is buying that. Nobody is believing that. This administration was not going to just sit around for 40 some odd days and wait for this to be resolved. Plain and simple. They just weren't going to do it. You saw the trip to the Middle East. You saw the trip to Asia. This administration was not going to have its hands tied behind its back because Democrats in Washington, D.C. want to relitigate the One Big Beautiful Bill and want to relitigate the absolute abysmal failure that Obamacare is. He just wasn't going to do it. There's too much going on. And I thought that was an interesting, a little bit of interesting insight there from Peter Ducey, making the point that, yeah, this obviously was a problem. It obviously affected a lot of individuals. There were impacts, but this administration wasn't just going to sit on its hands and wait for a couple of Democrats across the aisle, which is, of course, inevitably what happened after bitching and complaining about for 40 some odd days that Republicans are destroying the country and people are going hungry and nobody is getting paid, to eventually cave, get nothing, and then vote to reopen the government. So Hakeem Jeffrey, I mean, he looks terrible in this clip. He's got absolutely zero energy at all. He's got absolutely no enthusiasm in his voice. He looks like he has been whittled down. He's been beaten down. And he has, in large part, because the Democrats waged this war, waged this fight, with seemingly no way to get what they wanted. Seemingly no way. And so at the end of the day, he has to stand up there. He wasn't one of the six Democrats that voted in the House, but he has to stand up there and play the character La Resistance. He's got to play the character Orange Man Bad. It's just, it's lame. It's overused. And it's obviously not authentic. I mean, I would have wanted, if I was a progressive, watching what has unfolded over the last month and a half or so, I would have wanted fire and brimstone from Hakeem Jeffries last night. You didn't get fire and brimstone. You got a guy that looks like he'd popped a couple few too many Ambiens and then decided to walk onto the floor of the United States House. Weak, low energy, no enthusiasm, no authenticity in what he's saying at all. A very poor performance for Hakeem Jeffries and the Democrats. And it's honestly a great way to end all of this, because it really solidifies what the last last 42, 43 days have been for and been like. Getting nothing and having to cave and fold to the political pressure. So there's Hakeem Jeffries. The final vote would go through. It would pass 222 to 209. This was the moment that happened.
The ayes are 222. The nays are 209. The bill is passed. The motion is adopted.
The bill has passed. The motion is adopted. So after that took place, bill made its 2-mile trek from the Capitol, from the United States Capitol, over to the Oval Office, to the White House. And President Donald Trump spoke about the shutdown. Not super long, about 10 minutes. It was late. It was probably 10:15, 10:20 by the time he started speaking. Last night, spoke about some things. We'll get into his comments coming up here in just a couple of minutes. Plus, we'll dive into one of the Democrats, one of the six that voted with Republicans in the House last night to reopen the government. There is a strong North Carolina tie and connection, and it's a very smart political move for Congressman Don Davis. We'll get into those details coming up here in just a couple of minutes. But before that, I do want to let you know that when legal challenges arise, make sure you put your trust in Melissa Gott and her absolutely fantastic team over at the Law Group right here in Wilmington. Since 2003, their experienced attorneys have provided high-quality, affordable legal services across the eastern half of our state. Whether you're facing a divorce, navigating a real estate transaction, or maybe you're in a position where you need a strong defense, the Law Group has your back. Their dedicated team ensures your questions are answered and issues are resolved as quickly as possible. Great news, folks. They're located in downtown Wilmington and just a phone call away at 910-251-6088, or you can visit them online at lawgroupnc.com. 910-251-6088. Give them a call or visit their great website, lawgroupnc.com, where you can read about a variety of legal challenges. They have a great blog over at lawgroupnc.com. You can view all the areas of practice in which they work in. You can read as the bios and some details about Melissa and her amazing team. All of that available, lawgroupnc.com. The Law Group, experience and dedication you can rely on. We appreciate the Law Group and their continued support of the Nick Craig Show. All right, we'll grab a quick break. We'll transition over to the Oval Office. We'll hear from President Donald Trump last night. The 43-day government shutdown is officially over. We'll continue as the Nick Craig Show rolls on a Thursday morning, streaming live on YouTube, Rumble, X, Facebook, and available 24/7 wherever you get your podcasts. Good Thursday morning to you. Welcome back to the Nick Craig Show. Thanks for spending some time with us, either live or via podcast, as we continue our coverage of the official ending of the federal government shutdown, the longest in U.S. history, after 43, almost 44 days. A continuing resolution did make its way through the United States House last night and then over to the White House for President Donald Trump's signature. This is the moment. This is how it unfolded in the Oval Office last night.
Very important what has taken place, because we've seen how good government can be and how bad government can be if people don't know what they're doing. For the past 43 days, Democrats in Congress shut down the government of the United States in an attempt to extort American taxpayers for hundreds of billions of dollars for illegal aliens and people that came into our country illegally. From gangs, from prisons, from mental institutions. They wanted to pay them $1.5 trillion, which would have really hurt our healthcare businesses and our recipients at levels never seen before. Today, we're sending a clear message that we will never give in to extortion, because that's what it was. They tried to extort, the Democrats tried to extort our country. In just a moment, I'll sign a bill exactly like we asked Democrats to send us all along, many days ago. This cost the country $1.5 trillion, this little excursion that they took us on. Republicans never wanted a shutdown and voted 15 times for a clean continuation of funding. There's never been a time when one or the other party ever didn't sign a continuation. It's just a continuation, not a big deal. It's a continuation, and we'll talk later. Yet the extremists in the other party insisted on creating the longest government shutdown in American history, and they did it purely for political reasons. I want to thank Speaker Mike Johnson, Senate Majority Leader John Thune, as well as House Majority Leader Steve Scalise, Majority Whip Tom Emmer, and numerous other great Republican leaders and congressmen and senators who are here, who frankly spent a long time in Washington getting this thing to go away. I also want to thank the broad coalition of Americans that stood with us in this fight to reopen government, including the Teamsters, the American Federation of Government Employees, the Fraternal Order of Police, AMVETS, the National Small Business Association, the American Farm Bureau, the American Trucking Association. These are all incredible patriots. The Airlines for America, the Allied Pilots Association, the National Air Traffic Controllers Association, and many, many others, unions and non-unions. Over the past 7 weeks, the Democrats shut down has inflicted massive harm. They caused 20,000 flights to be canceled or delayed. They departed so many times, so late. People were hurt so badly. Nobody's ever seen anything like this one. This was a no-brainer. This was an easy extension. But they didn't want to do it the easy way. They had to do it the hard way. And they look very bad, the Democrats do.
I'm going to pause the president right there, because he, of course, is pointing out the obvious situation in the room. But sometimes the obvious does need to be pointed out. This has always been and was always a continuing resolution of which, as President Trump noted, Democrats and Republicans, which I wish we weren't in that situation, but Democrats and Republicans for decades have voted for CRs. Just earlier this year, back in March, Democrats voted for a CR to keep the federal government open until the beginning of October, which is, of course, what we just watched unfold. And so something switched. Something changed in this go-around, and it is hard to argue that this was anything but a now-failed political attempt by those on the Democratic side of the aisle.
They deprived more than 1 million government workers from their paychecks and cut off food stamp benefits for millions and millions more Americans in need. They caused tens of thousands of federal contractors and small businesses to go unpaid, and the total effect of the damage their antics caused will take weeks and probably months to really calculate accurately, including the serious harm that they did to our economy and to people and to families. So I just want to tell the American people, you should not forget this. When we come up to midterms and other things, don't forget what they've done to our country. I also want to call for a termination to the filibuster so that this can never happen again. If we had the filibuster terminated, this would never happen again. And don't forget, we have another date coming up in the not-too-distant future. We can never let this happen again. And we should be able to pass great, really great legislation. So I say terminate the filibuster because, by the way, the Democrats will do it immediately if they ever assumed office, which hopefully they won't.
I'm going to pause the president there once again. I don't necessarily agree with the president on this. I'm not, like, adamantly against it. I don't see the benefit of terminating the filibuster at this point. I mean, if there was going to be a time to do it, it would have been during this shutdown. And if you're going to terminate the filibuster, then it needs to be more than just a continuing resolution. I mean, the political strategy there is one that is very hard to put the genie back in the bottle. You terminate the filibuster and you turn it into a simple majority vote in the Senate. And, you know, the president makes the point that if Democrats ever get back into power, I mean, not ever, they will at some point. When Democrats get back into power, they'll terminate the filibuster. I don't know that that's the case. It's not going to happen in 2026. There's not enough Senate seats for Democrats to pick up. I mean, I guess it's possible. There's, you know, no such thing as never in politics. But the likelihood of them picking up a majority in 2026 is incredibly low just based on the math. It could happen, sure, but it's pretty low, at least as it stands right now, about a year out from the election. I get what the president's saying. I don't think I disagree with him when he says the Democrats will do it if they have the chance. There's probably some truth to that, but I will remind him and remind you that Democrats tried doing this back during the Biden administration, and multiple Democrat senators said, no, we're not going to do this. This is a terrible idea. Now, will things change now that Donald Trump is in the Oval Office? Possibly. But he still seems pretty hell-bent on getting rid of the filibuster. So we'll just have to, I guess, wait and see if he's able to convince John Thune and Senate Republicans to do so.
Today, we had the highest stock market price ever in all of the different markets. We set a record. It's the 48th time in the 9 months that I've been in office that we had this record set. So think of that, 48 times we had a record set, but today is the highest of them all. We're going to break new grounds. Nobody would have thought. I have with us not only the great political leaders, but the great business leaders of our country. They're standing right behind me and right really alongside of me. And if we would have told them a year ago that we'd be having stock prices this high, none of them, in fact, I just asked them that question, none of them would have believed it. And that inures to jobs and, very importantly, to 401ks, which have also set a record today, a record high for the people that have 401ks. And also, I want to thank Walmart because they came up with a fantastic study. It was the cost of Thanksgiving coming up and the cost of Thanksgiving from a year ago under Sleepy Joe Biden, and we're 25% lower this year than we were a year ago. And it's a very inclusive report. So I want to thank Walmart. They've done it for many years, but we believe in that, and we believe in that company. I want to also thank the 8 Senate Democrats who finally did the right thing in voting to end this craziness, this madness. But unfortunately, the vast majority of congressional Democrats were happy for millions of Americans to suffer. They really did suffer, too. And the Democrats admitted, they said, well, no, we finally have a point. Even though people have to suffer, we finally have a point. And that didn't work out too well for them. But they really went out and they could appease the fringe benefits of their far left base. But that didn't work out because now their far left base is angrier than ever before. We actually elected a mayor of New York City who happens to be a communist. When was that going to happen? Remember, I said all the time during my campaign, we will never be a socialist country. And that's right. We turned out to have a communist in New York City. And if you look at his views, those are the views of a communist, not a socialist.
I'm going to pause the president one more. Well, maybe not one more time, but another time here. He points out something that should not be lost on everybody listening or watching this morning or after the fact. The fringe base in the Democrat Party, the what I would describe as the, you know, far left progressive wing of the party, they have already been pissed off at the establishment Democrats. They've already been pissed off at Schumer and Pelosi and Akeem Jeffries and the kind of the old guard of the Democrat Party. I think in some respects, the shutdown was an attempt to appease them, to show that we are still in charge, we are still strong, we are still the leadership. And so when the president says, in an attempt to appease the base, who's even more angry now that they caved, he is absolutely spot on. And this issue of an attempt by the fringe groups within the Democrat Party to take over control is only going to get worse. It is only going to continue. It is only going to be a more significant problem for Chuck Schumer, who, by the way, other members of Congress are already calling for his head. They are calling for his job. You're going to have similar calls, if they haven't started already, for Hakeem Jeffries. I mean, the ball is already in motion. It's already beginning to roll downhill. And I don't believe that there's any way at this point for the Democrats to stop it. It's going to be fascinating to watch as we head into 2026.
So this is no way to run a country. I hope we can all agree that the government should never be shut down again, end the filibuster, terminate the filibuster. It'll never happen again. So with my signature, the federal government will now resume normal operations, and my administration and our partners in Congress will continue our work to lower the cost of living, restore public safety, grow our economy, and make America affordable again for all Americans. Again, costs are way down. Energy is way down. Gasoline is at $2.50 a gallon versus $4.70 for the Democrats. And we think we're going to hit pretty close to $2 a gallon. That's like a really massive tax cut. It's the equivalent of that. And speaking of tax cuts, our great, big, beautiful bill is giving everybody in our economy, middle-income workers, low-income, everybody, the biggest tax cut in the history of our country. And it's no tax on tips, no tax on Social Security, and very importantly, no tax on overtime. You work overtime, there's no tax. That's among the things that add up to the biggest tax cut in history. One other thing, you know, you hear about rich people with deductions. Well, when you buy your car and you borrow money, you're allowed to now deduct the interest on that loan. So you can take that interest deduction and what you can take is that interest payment and deduct it for income tax purposes. That's a tremendous tax cut right there. But it all includes fixing the healthcare system that Democrats broke with the disaster known as Obamacare. Obamacare was a disaster from day one. It's done nothing but go up. And if you remember President Barack Hussein Obama, when he came up with this crazy idea, he said, everything's going to be great. Rates are going to go down. Payments are going to go down. Everything's going to go down. It went the exact opposite, with the biggest increase of any of healthcare in any country. It's a disaster. And I'm calling today for insurance companies not to be paid, but for the money, this massive amount of money, to be paid directly to the people of our country so that they can buy their own health care, which will be far better and far less expensive than the disaster known as Obamacare. And I've had, I think, great support. I've even had Democrat support. So we want the money that would be going to the insurance company, which is hundreds of billions of dollars. You know, their stock prices have gone up by 1,000% in many cases, 1,000% over a short period of time, because our country stupidly pays them so much money with this Obamacare scandal. So I want the money to go directly to you, the people. And you go out and you buy your own health insurance and you'll negotiate different plans and you'll get much better insurance and you will be an entrepreneur for yourself. So I'm always willing to work with anyone, including the other party. We'll work on something having to do with health care. We can do a lot better. We can do great. So much money is involved, and we're willing to pay so much money to the people. So we're going to pay a lot of money to the people. They're going to go out and buy their own health care, and we're going to forget this Obamacare madness. So with all of that, I just want to tell you the country has never been in better shape. We went through this short-term disaster with the Democrats because they thought it would be good politically. And it's an honor now to sign this incredible bill and get our country working again. Thank you.
So there's the president in the Oval Office last night. He's talking about Obamacare, talking about health care. And, you know, I made this point and I got some less than ideal comments from individuals, feedback, which I always appreciate. Individuals not in agreement with me that, some of these subsidies need to be continued. And my point on this has been that I don't think that the subsidies, and I don't want the subsidies to be continued. But there is a real problem that is set to unfold here as we flip the calendar into 2026. You are going to have a lot of individuals, tens of millions of individuals, that are going to see their healthcare costs double per month. And that's what I'm looking at right now with what's available on the healthcare exchange. So this is a real issue. Open enrollment is, I think, for until December 15th or something like that. I don't believe that anything is going to happen before that. So there's going to be a lot of people that are struggling next year due to that. And it is absolutely incumbent on Trump and the Republicans, who rightfully so have been railing against Obamacare now for the better part of 15 years. But it is absolutely incumbent on them to come up with a real solution that will actually help people. A real solution that will provide the middle-class Americans an actual ability to deal with this, to deal with the rising cost of healthcare, because it's out of freaking control. It's a real issue. I would argue, however, that the solution to said problem is not more subsidies. The solution to the out-of-control healthcare issue that we are facing, in large part due to the federal government essentially taking over insurance through Obamacare, the solution is not more subsidies. The solution is fixing the problem. If your car has a gas leak and you're dripping gas from underneath your car, the solution is not to stop and get gas more often. The solution is to patch the hole that's in your fuel line. Right, I mean, that's a real-world example that some of you may have dealt with before. Oh, your car's leaking oil. The solution is not consistently pouring more oil into the engine. The solution is to fix the leak, fix the hole, stop the leaking of oil or gasoline. But for whatever reason, when we talk about healthcare, that's never the solution. It's never, let's figure out why these health insurance companies, let's figure out why these insurers, why the premiums have, in some cases, gone 5, 10x over the last 10 or 15 years. At the same time, your monthly deductible skyrockets, some cases, $8,000, $9,000, $10,000 a year. Don't ask me how I know. And for what? For crappy health insurance that's mandated by the federal government? I mean, give me a freaking break. So Trump and the Republicans have a huge opportunity with this healthcare issue. It is the healthcare has always been an issue that Democrats have been able to do a very good job at convincing the American population that they have the best answer for. You talk about an issue that could shape the midterm elections. You talk about something that will be sitting in the back of the minds of voters through the through the midterms. A retool of the healthcare system and providing individuals, and again, not with subsidies, that's not the solution. Free government money is not the solution. But providing individuals with relief on the rising cost of healthcare could be a major, major win for Republicans, not only President Trump, but for Republicans in the Senate and in the House as we head into 2026. So it is official. The federal government is reopened. The Democrats caved 43 days. They got a jack squat in the shutdown. They look like a bunch of morons and fools. The Civil War talk is ongoing within the Democrat Party. Now people calling for Chuck Schumer to resign his post as Senate Minority Leader. It is a real messy situation. As always with the Democrats, ladies and gentlemen, self-inflicted. Didn't have to be this way. They could have voted for the CR back in late September and we wouldn't be in this mess. They may have actually been able to negotiate some of these subsidies with the administration ahead of the December the 31st deadline, but they chose not to. They didn't think that that was a good idea. So they rammed through, they roadblocked, I should say, the continuing resolution all for nothing. Now, a quick interesting point as we wrap up our coverage this morning. I've got an article this morning over at CarolinaJournal.com talking about the federal government shutdown, getting reaction from members of Congress in North Carolina. But there was an interesting situation in the House. So you had six Democrats that voted with Republicans. One of them is Representative Don Davis. He is a Democrat in North Carolina's first congressional district that covers the northeast portion of the state, up in towards the Virginia border, a lot large portion of some of the Outer Banks. So that is the area that he represents. Now, Don Davis is a Democrat. He is a very moderate Democrat, and he catches a lot of flack from his own party for some of his votes. He has voted with the Republicans many a times since Donald Trump has gotten back into power and since the Republicans have had the majority in the House. Not all of the time, I would say not a majority of the time, but enough times that Don Davis has not only accurately said, but puts himself in a position where he can claim to be some level of a moderate. And this is incredibly relevant as the General Assembly we talked about over the last few weeks redrew congressional districts and made his district, which was essentially a toss-up before, meaning, you know, kind of roll the dice, a Democrat or a Republican could win. They have moved his district to an R plus five, meaning that Republicans should on paper, and again, this is on paper, theoretically, have about a 5-point advantage in Congressional District 1, in which he serves and represents right now. So this vote, which I don't think was purely it wasn't just a complete throwaway vote. He's done this in the past, voting with Republicans in Congress. This is a very smart move for a guy that is going to face a very tough reelection as we head into 2026. He was speaking to reporters and did speak to reporters outside of the United States Capitol last night. Here's the coverage from Spectrum News One.
As well. Do you believe the month-long plus shutdown, though, accomplished anything given that the healthcare subsidies weren't in there?
I believe that over the course of the days that we've increased definitely awareness, and more importantly, we've heard the concern. I mean, many of you reported on it. You're telling and sharing those stories, too, the same ones that we are hearing.
This shutdown was unfortunate. The Democrats really overplayed their hand, and I think that's why you saw so many of the moderate Democrats who broke ranks in the Senate and joined with Republicans to vote to reopen the government. They recognized it was the right thing to do.
So there you go. You heard from Don Davis there. You then heard a little bit from Congressman Tim Moore. It is an interesting situation that Don Davis is in. from a purely political standpoint, as a Democrat in a district that is now leaning more towards Republicans, a smart move. And I tend to believe him when he says, you know, makes his comments. He did release a statement last night saying, quote, "Families in Eastern North Carolina must remain the priority, which is why I initially voted against the original continuing resolution in hopes of sincere discussions on extending the ACA premium tax credits. Support for our military families, veterans, farmers, and those in need is now included in the updated continuing resolution. To support my constituents, albeit the and to alleviate the suffering of our families as the holidays approach and bring vital resources to Eastern North Carolina, I voted to reopen the government." So there is the commentary there from Don Davis, a smart political move from him. And we will see how that plays out in the midterm elections. He is an incumbent, so he, of course, gets a couple of point bump politically for that. And is he able to upset in a seat that should now favor Republicans as we head into the midterm elections? It's one of those things we'll just have to wait and see. More coverage coming in as well. Congressman David Rauser posting on X last night, "Glad to see that the House passed the clean continuing resolution tonight. Now the bill heads to the president's desk for him to sign. With the government open, we must use the next 2.5 months to address our spending priorities responsibly." Great commentary there from Congressman David Rauser. We'll try and catch up with him in the next couple of weeks as we head into this potential another shutdown in the latter parts of January. We'll reach out to the congressman and hopefully get him back right here on the Nick Craig Show. Well, that's going to do it for a Thursday edition. Thanks to the Law Group here in Wilmington for their continued support. Give them a call, 910-251-6088, or visit them online at lawgroupnc.com. The Nick Craig Show streams live weekday morning, 7 a.m., YouTube, Rumble, X, Facebook, and is available 24/7 wherever you get your podcasts. We're back here Friday morning for The Nick Craig Show.